You can turn in your Bible to Proverbs 16. I guess I got it right there. I wrote it wrong someplace. Well, anyway, I'll find it. It's Proverbs 16, verse 9. So last year, about this time, that's better. Last year, about this time, we talked about 2020 being a year of refocusing our vision, you know, like 2020 vision. We're going to see our lives more clearly. We're going to see the ministry of our church more clearly. And in many ways, that turned out to be more true than we anticipated. We've seen that our lives are frail, that in spite of all of our medical advancements, death comes to rich and poor alike. We are very much mortal. We've seen that this big society that we've constructed can come screeching to a halt in just a couple of weeks' time. We as a human community are not as powerful or as unstoppable as we sometimes like to think. We've seen how our plans are laughably uncertain. You know, we can start out a year meticulously planning out the whole course of the year, and within 3 months, throw the whole plan in the garbage. I have this baptism in my baptism certificate in my office right now. It's got a name on it, but no date. And the reason I didn't put a date on it, because I've learned from last year not to assume that I know how things are going to work out timing-wise. We were planning to have the baptism of Stephen Martz before Christmas. But it's fortunate I didn't put a date on that because I came down with COVID and we had to postpone that. So hopefully you'll be here next week to witness the baptism of Stephen Martz. And it'll be a great celebration. Hopefully I'll be here next week. But I've learned not to assume that that's actually going to work out the way that I planned. So I'm still withholding the date until we make sure nobody's getting, you know, mortally ill or anything. To see our plans as uncertain is to see our plans clearly. And this morning, we're going to pray for the ministries of our church. We're going to pray for those who have been appointed to particular ministries, the way that we often do. And we'll pray for our plans as a church. But we haven't learned very much from last year if we haven't learned to hold our plans loosely and with the humility of Proverbs 16:9. This is what Proverbs 16:9 says. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. We're going to spend just a few minutes with this verse before we pray this morning. But we can see three truths in this one passage. First of all, we can see that we do make plans, and that's not a bad thing. But we also see that how those plans work out is not really in our hands. We need to make our plans with humility, recognizing that God can overturn our plans in an instant. And finally, we want to celebrate that our plans are not just subject to the brutal forces of chaos, but that there is a God who is powerful and who loves his people, working out all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So let's pray for the message this morning as we get started, and then we'll move on with the text, and then we'll pray for our church as a whole. God, we thank you that you are working in us, and I pray that as we look at this verse this morning from your word, that you would be working through me, that you could work in all of us and speak your truth to our hearts. We've come in with a number of different preconceptions about how we view our lives, maybe preconceptions about you. And I pray that as we sit in the light of your word this morning, you would break through some of our preconceptions and change our view of the world, change our view of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first half of this verse says, in his heart, a man plans his course. And that's not a bad thing. It doesn't make sense to just wander around with no idea of a direction. And you probably noticed that a course is more general than steps. You know, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his actual steps. And that's not to say that God's not in control of the big direction of our lives. And it's not to say that we shouldn't plan individual steps, that we should ignore details or anything like that. But it does seem right, it does seem consistent with this verse to say that we as human beings should at least have a general idea of where we're heading or where we're trying to head, even if we can't see all the hows and the whens and the whereby's. Again, we make these plans with humility, but that's not to say that we don't make plans. Last year, we got talking about our purpose statement as a church. Let me just read our purpose statement for us. It says, "The purpose of First Christian Church shall be to exalt God in Christian fellowship by three things: by maintaining public worship and spiritual instruction, by caring for the physical and spiritual well-being of its members and of the community, and by seeking to bring others to a saving faith in Jesus Christ as revealed in the Word of God." So when we plan our course as a church, this is the broad direction that we're going. You know, whatever plans we make, we're moving toward exalting God together as a body of Jesus followers. We're working on doing that in three ways: worshiping God, caring for people, and saving the lost. And there are some specific ways that I would like to pursue each of these purposes this year. I've been making plans. Now, I want to help us develop intentional places where those caring relationships can happen so that we know what each other needs and we can care for one another in meaningful ways. I want to create an atmosphere of worship in the sanctuary where we can be still before God and see Him and fill our hearts and our minds with who He is. I want to provide us with tools for seeking to save the lost that keep us involved, but without burning us out with guilt if it's not going as well as we would like. And when I look ahead of it, at this year ahead of us, these are some of the plans that are forming in my heart. Maybe you've got some plans for this year that you've been forming in your heart. You know, hopefully you have some sense of intentionality, some sense of direction for where you're going. But let that direction be guided by God's purpose for your life. What are some ways that you want to grow in love and knowledge of God this year? What are some ways that you want to share God's love with your family, with your community? Even if you don't have specific plans worked out for what that's going to look like this year, hopefully you have those deep, God-given purposes directing your course. Now, maybe you have some more particular plans. I'm planning to graduate from Trinity with my Doctor of Ministry in May, God willing. We'll see how it goes. I still have to defend. You might be planning to retire, or you might be planning to get a new job, or you might be planning to do a home improvement project or go on a vacation. And it's not bad to make those plans when they're guided by your God-given purpose. But we also need to recognize, secondly, that in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And that's not just saying that, hey, just plan whatever you want and God will make it happen. You know, one aspect of the prosperity gospel, as they call it, like prosperity preaching, is to just affirm all your hopes and dreams. Like, just whatever you want, God will make it happen as long as you obey him and as long as you preferably give money to the particular ministry that's telling you all these things. No matter how selfish or greedy you might be, God will make all your dreams come true if you just, you know, be a good person. A popular verse to back that up was, if you just look back at chapter 16, verse 3, it says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." Wow, that sounds like a really nice promise. You know, I can live in a mansion. I can put my kids in an elite school. I can become the owner of a Fortune 500 company. I can have a luxurious retirement if I just commit it all to the Lord. You may think I'm exaggerating here, but I've actually read these things in Joel Osteen's book. So just telling you, people are actually saying these things. There are a lot of problems with this kind of preaching. First of all, Proverbs is not really a book of promises. It's wisdom literature. You know, the gospel is promises. You know, the letters of Paul, the book of Revelation, those are promises. This is wisdom literature. They're different parts of Scripture. And these are not ironclad gospel promises. They're wisdom sayings that we need to mull over and discern carefully. So that no matter how good your intentions might be, God doesn't always make your plans succeed. So James chapter 4 says this. Maybe you're anticipating me reading this one. "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil." Is that clear? The second big problem with assuming that God is going to accomplish your plans is that if you really commit to the Lord whatever you do, your life is going to look a lot like Jesus, who taught us to be the servant of others, to store up treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth, to give away what we have to people in need, and who prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done," before he went to the cross and died. That's what it looks like to commit whatever you do to the Lord. This verse that says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps," tells us that our plans are not always going to work out the way that we expect. We can go in with really specific plans or really general plans, and God might just overturn them all. You know, we had a pinata for James's birthday a couple of years ago, and it's hilarious, right? It's as much fun to watch kids trying to hit the pinata as it is to actually be the one with the blindfold trying to hit it. It's like, first of all, like they've got this stick in their hands and they got their eye on the pinata and they're just going to clobber this thing into next week. But then you put a blindfold on them and you spin them around a few times. And then everybody watching better stay on their toes because they're most just as likely to swing the stick at you as they are to actually hit the pinata they thought they were going to hit. I think that's probably about how God sees us when we make our plans. I think God's got a pretty good sense of humor. And he must just get a kick out of us making these grand plans for our lives. You know, he blindfolds us, he spins us around, and we're likely to walk away from our plans as much as we are to actually hit what we were aiming for. And if we don't trust God, this might really scare the daylights out of us. Listen to how it puts this. The Lord determines his steps. Yikes, determines. That sounds an awful lot like fate. We want to be in control of our lives. You know, I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to determine what steps I'm going to take. And the verse says, no, you're not. God does that. You may make your plans, but God determines your steps. And that doesn't mean that God takes away your ability to choose, you know, of your own will. It means that your willpower is not always enough to determine where you're going to end up. You know, a global pandemic is just one example of forces that are out of your control that can ruin all your best intentions. And if you're like me, or if you've ever made a New Year's resolution that you just did not follow through on, then you know that even you can't make yourself do what you want all the time. You don't even have enough willpower to control yourself. We make our choices, we plan our course, and yet often God is going to steer you in a different direction than you originally had planned. But actually, that's not so bad. When it says the Lord determines his steps, it means, thirdly, that there is a God who is intimately involved in your life, in every step of your life. Not only watching over you, but guiding you. If we hear that God overturns our plans, we're probably going to think, hey, that's mean. Don't mess with my plans. I like my plans. But if God didn't overturn our plans, I'm pretty sure none of us would have ever come to faith in Jesus. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. You know, he planned his course to Damascus. He knew what he was going to do. He was going to go to Damascus. He was going to arrest some Christians. He was going to make a name for himself as a Pharisee. And then Jesus just broke into his life in this blaze of glory and completely turned his plans on his head. And for the rest of his life, Paul will say, thank God that he overthrew my plans. Thank God for his mercy, because my plans were leading me to my destruction. Now, maybe you didn't have such a dramatic conversion story, but if you have come to faith in Jesus, you have had some kind of conversion. And conversion means a change in your life. We start out on a pretty selfish course until Jesus comes crashing into our lives and takes the lead. Whether he does it just through your parents or through a friend or a pastor or through a car crash. But Jesus overturns your plans for your life and brings you to his saving grace. And thank God for his mercy that overturns our plans. And even if you've been following Jesus for decades, God will overturn your plans, and thank God for his mercy. You know, on Richard and Patty's gravestone, I just noticed a couple of weeks ago, there's the scripture reference. It's Romans 8:28. Anybody know that? I think it's an amazing verse to declare in the face of death, to put on your gravestone. It says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." What, even including death? Yes, even including death. We take our plans, and sometimes God leads us right along those plans. They work out exactly the way we thought it would. This verse isn't saying that he doesn't. But even when he leads us in steps that are completely opposite to what we had planned, he is still working for the good of those who love him. So then what do we do with our plans? Well, we make them humbly, tentatively, with our hearts trained on God and his purposes, but recognizing that God is the one who determines our steps, and that's a good thing. We prepare ourselves to adjust our plans according to his when he reveals them to us. And when things are a complete disaster, as far as we can see, when we lose a job and business shuts down, when a family member gets COVID or gets cancer or dies, and it's so in conflict with our plans that we can't imagine any good possibly coming out of it, we still trust in the character of the God who determines our steps. And I saw this piece of art on the wall of the home of a Christian who was going through some suffering. And the artwork said, "When I can't see God's hand, I will trust God's heart." We stand at the threshold of a new year. And frankly, we've got no more idea what this year will hold than we did last year. We have a pretty good idea about the purposes that God has given us as a church. And to exalt God together as a family of Christians, to worship and to care and to seek the lost. And we build our plans around those purposes. You can build plans for your life around God's purposes for you, to know him, to love him, to share his love with others. And we don't honestly know how well those plans are going to work out. But thank God that he loves you, that he's in charge of this universe, and he's the one who determines our steps. So we're going to pray for the ministry of our church this year. And we're going to pray, first of all, for just the general ministry. We're going to do this a little bit different from last year. We've been doing this for several years now, where we tend to have people stand up by groups and pray for each group of people who do ministry in the church. This time, we're just going to pray for the direction of our church first, and then we'll get around to praying for everybody who serves in the church together. So would you pray with me as we look at this next year? Lord God, we make our plans, but you determine our steps. We have prayerfully sought your purposes for us as a church. We've made our plans. We've carried out ministries over the past year. And we have other plans in our hearts for this year based on your word. But we ask you to guide us. You know the challenges ahead of us. You know the specific people in our community who need help, who need love and care. You know the gifts and the opportunities that you've given each one of us. Please shape our plans according to yours. In your mercy, Lord, overturn our plans when you have something better in mind for us. Give me and give all those who lead the church and give direction to the church, sensitivity to your Spirit. Give us humility about our own ideas. Give us a constant devotion to prayer so that we walk in step with you. Please open many people's hearts to hear the gospel this year. Show your love to those in need. Cause us to grow in grace as Christians and as a family of Christians. And exalt your name in us. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.